The reading this morning can be found on page 1006 in the Church Bibles, and it continues what we have been reading from the book of Mark in chapter 4, verses 21 to 34. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
Thank you, John. As we come to look at God's word, shall we pray? Father God, we thank you that your word has been given to us that we might learn, but not learning for learning's sake, but that we might learn more of the Lord Jesus, the more of the life that he has called us to. And we pray, Father God, as we hear your word, you would help us to understand. You would take the frailty of human lips and of our human minds and speak to us in words that we know and understand and can apply. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, where are we? We're going to look at growing and growing. And there are a couple of things. I'm conscious that we've got the trogs in with us, maybe one or two. So we're trying to make it relevant for you. And we've had Sarah, and we've been talking and hearing a little bit about the persecuted church in North Korea. And so, as we think about the persecuted church, we could get sort of a bit depressed. You know, things are not that good because for so many Christians around the world, life is hard because of their faith. But this morning, I'd just like to encourage each one of us. The stories that Jesus tells follow on from the parable that we heard of last week. The parable of, well, it's sometimes called the parable of the sower, but I'm not sure whether it should actually be called the parable of the seeds or the parable of the soils, because it's all of those, isn't it? But what we do know is at the end of the parable, we hear that the seed sown on the good soil will produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And from there, Jesus goes on to say, do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Don't you put it on the lampstand instead? So what's that about? How can we hear these words and how can we understand what it is Jesus is actually saying to us? The truth of the matter is those who hear God's word and respond to it, those who are in the 30, 60 or 100 fold, they've got something to show, something to reveal, something to display, and that display is the light of Christ. It's interesting when you hear other people sort of talking about this passage. They think we are the light. Well, maybe in some senses we are, but actually Christ is our light. Any light that we share, it is because it has come from him first. And as we think about the Halloween season coming up, there's a lot of focus on dark and light. And it reminded me that many years ago, well, in fact, actually, not that many years ago, I was involved in a project with a group of young people. And the words that Jesus spoke about being light came very practically. Maybe. I'm clicking and nothing's happening. Right. The true light that gives light to everyone came into the world. I used to work on a sailing project. And we used to take groups of inner city kids off on a sailing boat, a big sailing boat, for a whole week. That's one of the boats. I'll just put it up, so just in case you don't know what a sailing boat is, you've got the idea. Now, what we would do is we would set off from the Solent, that's Southampton, and we'd head down to the Needles, and we'd take a sharp left. And 12 hours away is Cherbourg. If you know anything about navigation, you know why we turn left and sail for 12 hours, because it's easy. We get halfway into the channel, and these really tough kids, of whom nothing seems to frighten them, because they're big, they're tough, they're king of the pile, they suddenly start to get a little bit nervous, because it's very dark. At about 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the English Channel, apart from very big boats going up and down, which is, that in itself is something, it is very dark. And suddenly you see these young people getting very nervous. The brashness all goes. They're very quiet. They lose their confidence. And then little by little, at about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, a light appears on the horizon, very faint at first, flashing. And as you sail closer to the French coast, the light gets brighter and brighter. And as the light gets brighter, you can see the confidence begin to build in those young people. And the light that they see is what you can see on the screen. It's the Barfleur Lighthouse. It's a huge lighthouse just off the coast, just up the coast from Cherbourg. And it's a real illustration that the light of Christ speaks into the lives of people who are living in darkness. The world needs the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And so we, as God's people, are called to bring the light of Christ to a darkened world. I've included some pictures, maybe. That's it, we'll go to the next one. Right, It's a holiday week. If anybody feels like doing a little bit of travelling, and if you've never travelled north from Huntingdon, this is the church in the village of Bury. It's about 8 miles north of here. If you head towards Ramsey, you can't miss it. Right on the top of a hill and right on the edge of the fens. Now, allegedly, and I have to use that word, the monks of Ramsey Abbey, over 1,000 years ago, built the tower of this church as a lighthouse for all the ships that were sailing in the fens. Yes, ships sailing in the fens. So they knew where the land was and they would avoid it. It's an image of a church bringing the light of Christ. If we go to the next one, a little bit of imagination, but that's probably what it would have looked like. What a wonderful image for the church. Sorry, that's not a real fire on the roof. Took a little bit of jiggery-pokery with a computer to make that. But it gives us the idea that the church represents a light, not our light, not the light of a bright beacon burning on a church tower, but the light of Christ brought into that dark world. We are that light, and we find that light in God's word. And as we open God's word, and as we read it, and as we understand it, and as we hear it, God will reveal himself, and the light will break into the dark. So, your word, the Lord's word, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, better than sailing in the channel and relying on a lighthouse, because that might go out. Well, it is French. Better than a beacon built on a church tower that will ultimately go out. God's word is the light for each one of us to read and to know and understand. And let's pray that the life of this church, in his letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, he said, we ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love of all you have for one another is increasing. There among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that endure. Let us pray that for us as individuals, we would reflect the light of Christ as he reveals himself to us. But that we as a church would have a reputation for being God's people from whom the light of Christ shines out. To Huntingdon, to God Manchester, to Brampton, Hartford, Alconbury. Let us pray that we might be God's light, revealing Christ to the entire world. So let's move on to the second of our three stories. This is, in fact, the first parable of these three. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it. The harvest has come. The light of Christ brings us to the harvest of Christ. As we look back over the parable of the sower, we see the seeds, we see the sower, we see the soils. Only some of the seed is fruitful, and some of the seed produces different amounts of food, of crop. We need to take care not to become too judgmental of other people. God has called each one of us to something very different. And God is sowing among us different seed. There are different gifts that are coming, that are evident. There are different works that are being achieved and bringing forth, brought forth. But nonetheless, God is sowing his seed. And when the seed lands in the soil, it starts to grow. Nothing that the farmer does. And then ultimately, the full corn appears. At the back of our house, we've got a field. It's a field of crops. And every year we see the farmer come along and he has a tractor and he has a relatively small bag of seed. Relatively. It's quite big, but it's a small bag of seed. And we see the farmer go up and down the field sowing the seed and then he goes away. And we don't see him. Sometimes we don't see him for months. He might appear at some point during the year and spray some fertilizer, but he might not. He might come a little bit later in the season and spray some weed killer, but he might not. Well, he usually does. And then we find that towards the end of the year, the crops are high, he drives along, and that bag of seed that he sowed becomes something like about 10 trailer loads of corn. But what has the farmer done? Apparently very little. God is at work in his people, and we don't really see God at work. I'm going to talk a bit of history. 1984 was Mission England. Billy Graham was in this country, and number of crusades took part in various places. I was councillor at Norwich, and at the end of the evening's meeting, Billy Graham gives the call, if you've committed your life to Christ, come forward, and there are the councillors in the middle of the field ready to receive people. Well, I was in the middle of the, you never know quite what's going to happen, but people are coming forward, they want prayer, they want to commit their life to Christ. This couple came down, and they headed for me, and you can sort of think, perhaps they'd like to go somewhere else. But a couple came to me, and they told me a story about themselves. They'd been and listened to Billy Graham in the Haringey rallies in 1954. And at those rallies, at one of those rallies, they had committed their life to Christ. They went forward determined that they were going to follow Christ and come through as Christians. But over the intervening years, pressures came in, family came along. They went a bit cold. And yet 1984, 30 years later, they determined that they are once again going to recommit their life to Christ. And it wasn't as if God was absent in those 30 years. But God was at work, building them up to the point in time when they knew they had to recommit their life to Christ. And so it is with each one of us. It doesn't matter what we are or where we are. Once we've made that commitment to Christ, he will continue to be with us and we will continue to grow. Until that day when he calls us to be fruitful. And our prayer should be that each one of us looks for that day that God calls us to be fruitful. So let's move on to the final paragraph, the parable of the mustard seed. What should we say? What is the parable? How should we describe it? And he said it's like a mustard seed. The smallest of all the seeds, the smallest of all the known seeds to the farmers at the time. It's planted and it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants. With such big plant, big branches that even the birds can perch in its shade. Now, I don't know if you know, if you grow mustard, but that's a picture of what they call Mediterranean or black mustard. It grows up to 15 feet high. It grows in this country, the nearest kind of thing we have it to is like brambles. Have you ever seen wild brambles? You grow huge bramble bushes and they just grow thick and impenetrable. And in these thick impenetrable bushes, birds nest and sit and do whatever birds do, and animals hide in it. So much so that actually in California, where it's an alien crop, it's become a pest and they're trying to get rid of it. From a little tiny seed, great things come. A huge bush that is impenetrable. And elsewhere, you know, we're told that faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. God is at work in us, as we've seen, but God is at work in us that we might be fruitful and people of faith who live and proclaim God's word that others might come to know him. This is a lady called Gladys Aylward. She's only little. About 5'4". Gladys Aylward, born in 1902, she was a housemaid in Tottenham in North London. As a young woman, she was convinced that God had called her to China to be a missionary. And she applied to all the mission agencies, all the mission societies that she could think of that might want to sponsor her to go to China. And every single one of them turned her down. She was too small. She hadn't been to Bible college. She hadn't even been to university. She was just a housemaid from Tottenham. But by 1930, so convinced was she that God had called her to China that she got herself to China. She actually got on a train and travelled as far as she could. And much of the story is still, I'll let you read the book. Gladys Aylward went to China. She finished up working in an orphanage. And when the Japanese invaded China and the war came in 1938, the children in the orphanage were all at risk. And she took them over the mountains to safety. And if you've ever seen the film The Inn of the Sixth Happiness, starring Ingmar Bergman as Gladys Aylward, you will see her story has reached millions. She appeared to be very unpromising as far as missionary work was concerned. They turned her down. Nobody would believe that she was called to China. And yet, she was very instrumental in bringing many to Christ. Today there are millions of Christians in China, and it's lots of small seeds like Gladys Aylward. But around the world today there are 2.3 billion Christians. Now, I might have got this wrong because I've worked this out for myself and my maths is a bit dodgy. But I reckon that if one of those Christians were to walk past this lectern every minute, it's 28, I think, the last one walks by. That's huge. That's 20 years. That's a lot of people. As we sit here this morning, we perhaps feel rather weak and unable. We feel, well, we're just a small group. We're weak. We can't do much. We might be, look, we're a bit like Gladys Aylward. Yet we're part of something much, much bigger. God is at work in the world. God is at work in his church. And we are part of that, along with many others. And so as we read these stories, as we read this teaching of Jesus, let us recall, let us hold fast the fact that we are the light of Christ to a darkened world. That won't always be popular. That won't always be easy. And we've been hearing of the stories of Christians in North Korea. We pray for them, but pray that it never comes to us. We see God at work, unseen, like the seed in the soil. But like that couple that came forward at Carrow Road, we see God at work in people over many, many generations. And I just want to very quickly go through the next few slides as an encouragement. That is the way in which The Christian church is dispersed throughout the world. Each dot represents 50,000 Christians. And you can see there are some parts of the world where there are lots of Christians, and there are some parts of the world where there are not very many. Rejoice that for many they're praying for us, but we too can pray for them. Okay, go to the next one. This is the growth in evangelical Christians. I don't know if you can see that. 600 million evangelical Christians throughout the world, down from about 100 million in 1980. But you can see where the growth is. It's all in what we call the developing world, in the global south. Growth in the first world is steady, but not that brilliant. Okay, next one. 86% of the world's 3.8 billion Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists do not personally know a Christian. 86% of the world's Muslims, Buddhists, and Christians do not know a Christian. I think the challenge for each one of us today is that we need to pray for those we come across. And we need to look at ways in which we can make contact with people such as these that have never heard of Christ. But more important, because we live in England and because we're here, we need to pray for those who are in contact, for those who are able to share the light, for those who are able to be the light, for those who are able to be the sowers of God's word. We need to pray that that mustard tree, that impenetrable mass of this big tree from these little seeds, is increasingly the image we see of the church. And so this morning, let us recognize that we have the light. It's wrong for us to keep the light of Christ to ourselves. Let's take those bowls off. Let's share Christ with those that live in darkness. Maybe just a leaflet for those that are trick-or-treating. But pray. Pray for friends. Pray for family. Let us pray that God is at work, and that harvest, when it comes, will be glorious. And let us pray that, like that mustard tree, that small, insignificant seed, that Gladys Aylward of all of us, would grow, that it might become something that is great and something that brings light into the whole world. And so as we reflect upon God's word, let us close with a prayer. Father God, we rejoice that Jesus is the light of the world. Lord, we confess there are times when we perhaps are rather embarrassed about Jesus. We are rather embarrassed about our faith. Help us, Lord, to be prepared to shine, not for ourselves, but shine out with the light of Christ. And let us pray, Father God, for those for whom being a Christian, being a follower of you, actually will bring difficulty and trial. And pray, Father God, that we'll bring them to your loving care. And we ask all these in Jesus' name. Amen.